ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्राज्ञेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकि कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। वेरी हैप्पी टू गेट एन ऑपर्चुनिटी टू असोसिएट विथ सच वंडरफुल सिंसियरली सीरियसली प्रैक्टिसिंग डिवोटीज देयर एट मथुरा देश। हिज ग्रेस व्रज प्राण प्रभु हैड रिटन अ मेल टू मी रिगार्डिंग दिस प्रोग्राम। Whenever I connect with such yatras like this, I consider it more like an opportunity to share Krishna consciousness with very seriously practicing bhaktas. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that one should share Krishna consciousness with devotees, not only with new people all the time. Because many times new people may not be able to appreciate the subtleties and nuances of Krishna consciousness. Literature right in the beginning. But eventually they will appreciate the depth and the depth of sweetness and rasas in the literatures like Bhagavatam. So therefore it is a great joy for having an opportunity to share Krishna consciousness with devotees whose hearts are already resonating with Krishna's devotion and love. So thank you for this opportunity, Prabhu, Vajapran Prabhu and others. I am going to recite the shloka here, which you can see on the screen here. And we will discuss based on this. This is verse number 3.15.39. Krishna prasada sumukham sprihaniya dhama स्नेहावलोककलया हृदि संस्पृशन्तम् श्यामे प्रतावुरसि शोभितया श्रिया स्वश् चूडामणिम् सुभगयन्तम् इवात्मदिष्ण्यम्। दिस् वास् अपियर्स् वेन् अट् द डोर् आफ् वैकुण्ठ दर् इस् जय अण्ड् विजय स्टाण्डिङ्ग् अण्ड् फोर् कुमार सर् trying to make an entry, and they are stopped at the gate by the two doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu. At that time, the doorkeepers became angry. Visitors became angry. The four Kumaras. So, they looked at Jaya and Vijay and they said, Bhagavat Pratikulya Shilo, your Swami, your Master Vishnu is always benevolent, is very merciful, he is always smiling, and he is not only cheerful himself, he is very respectful in dealing with others, especially the Brahmanas. And how is it that you being his servants, you don't seem to be representing your master? Your behavior is not Bhagavat Anukulya Shilav, your behavior is Bhagavat Pratikulya Shilav. Pratikul means your behavior is cut off from the behavior of your master. Because if your master is benevolent to Brahmanas, you are also supposed to be so. But how is it that you are behaving differently? And they said, your nose is bulged, your eyes are bloodshot, raktekshana. You are stopping us with your gada, holding it at the door, not letting us in. So this type of angry behavior that you have showed, they told, four Kumaras told Jaya Vijay, shows that you are unfit to be a resident of Vaikuntha. So you should go to the Bhuloka, where the three gunas are very prominent, and where this type of behavior like anger or harshness or arrogance or disrespect, such kinds of things exist. And then there you have to get some purification in the material world, and then you can, you know, you will be eligible to live in Vaikuntha sometime in future. Like that they said. So you go to Bhuloka for three lifetimes, like that they cursed. So at that time, the four Kumaras, hearing the criticism of the four Kumaras, Jaya Vijay became alarmed. Alas, alas, some mahad atikrama has happened, some mahad aparada has happened by us. They quickly came to their senses and fell at the feet of the Kumaras. Crying piteously, folding their palms in Kritanjali Mudra and shedding tears of remorse and repentance. They said, oh sirs, we don't mind going to the material world. Whatever number of lifetimes you may, curse us to go. But we only have one small plea, request from you. Every moment during our stay in Bhuloka, let us always fondly remember the lotus feet of our Swami, Lord Vishnu. Let us not forget his lotus feet. This is our only prayer to you. You give us a curse, at the same time give us the blessing also, that we will be able to remember our master. If that happens, we have nothing to worry, they said. So now seeing this, the four Kumaras are amazed. Oh, these are not ordinary people. These are Bhagavat Parshadas. They are Bhagavat Bhaktas. They are Vaishnavas. And just see, they are not only falling at our feet and begging for forgiveness, they are so much attached to the Lord that they simply want his remembrance. So they are not afraid of the punishment. They are not afraid of the pain involved in undergoing the punishment. But they simply want to remember the Lord in all circumstances, whether it is heaven or hell or Bhuloka or Goloka or whatever it is. They simply want to remember the Lord. So probably we people were making a hasty dash in cursing them, these two poor fellows. If only we knew they are so mild-natured and they are so pure-hearted, we would have refrained from giving such a curse. Like once His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj from West Virginia, New Vrindavan community, he comes to Pune once in a year. So he was telling, in their community, first time he saw one fellow coming towards Maharaj. And this fellow was very hefty fellow, tall fellow, hefty fellow. Of course, he was wearing a dhoti, but he looked like some bodybuilder. Very huge body with biceps, big biceps and tall figure. So he was coming towards Maharaj like this, walking, and Maharaj thought, hey, this fellow is straight coming towards me. Is he a devotee or is he a non-devotee? Who is this new person? He was thinking. He came near, very close to Maharaj, and then folded down and said, Maharaj, vancha kalpatarubhyascha Maharaj, like that he was telling. So Maharaj was laughing to himself. Oh, he's a Vaishnava devotee. He's a devotee, understood. And then subsequently Maharaj said, in the next 15-20 minutes of talking with him, Maharaj understood that he is a simple devotee. He's a very loving Vaishnava. Although his body is so huge in size, as far as his devotional service is concerned, he is very, devotee with no malice and no anger or anything. Although his face appears to be little rough and tough, Maharaj understood. Same thing happened with the four Kumaras also. They didn't know what was the intention and mood and mindset of Jai Vijay. They just cursed them, and it was a too hasty curse. They felt we could have, hesitated, we should have taken a while to understand the situation. So they felt little bad in their mind. We should not have cursed. They felt like that. We all have this experience in our lives also. Sometimes when we are emotionally driven, we burst out something from our mouth, and when we blurt out like that, and later on the other person is broken down, and then we want to, somehow repair the relationships. We may go and give some Mahaprasad, or we may go and give some words of praises, or we may try to behave well with them, but sometimes the other person is not very open, and they become closed. Like a flower in the morning is fully blossomed, evening it just closes. So sometimes we wonder what to do with that person. I should not have spoken like this, or whatever, we feel like that. We all have experience of that in this world. So sometimes we wrongly judge people, due to which we take a swift action without thinking twice. And that's what four Kumaras also felt. Poor fellows. They don't deserve such a very heavy curse. It's like, bringing a machine gun to kill a mosquito, as we say, Imagine if there is a mosquito troubling you in the room, you bring a machine gun, like that you shoot. And you find 3-4 devotees are knocked down to the ground. Somebody comes and asks you, what happened? You say, Prabhu, I didn't intend anything bad. I just wanted to kill the mosquito, but these fellows are dead. What can I do? You can't say like that. So sometimes we make a mole into a mountain and bring a machine gun for a mosquito. So that's what Kumaras also felt, that we should not have been driven by anger like this. This is one of the natures of anger, that if we don't, use anger in a regulated way, it can really burn us and burn others also. Like we have a gas cylinder, it has fire. You have a regulator there. Why? Because regulated LPG can give you very good service for cooking vegetables, rice and everything. But if you don't regulate it, it could explode and cause a terrible accident. You're taking away lives. It's very deadly. Because fire is like that. Fire can be constructive, fire can be destructive. And by the way, for every sense organ, there is a presiding deity. For the eyes, there is Surya. For the ears, there is Digdevatas. For the nose, there is Ashwini Kumaras. For the hands, there is Indra. For the genitals, there is Brahma. For the rectum, there is Mrityu, Yama. Similarly, for the mouth, who is the presiding deity? If you see, presiding deity is Agni. And it is very meaningful, isn't it? Because our mouth is presided by Agni. Mouth is the place from where the words emanate. We speak. And Agni has to be properly used in the kitchen also. If you use Agni beyond a certain limit, the food item is burnt and nobody will like it. If the Agni is less, the food may be undercooked, which nobody will like. So therefore, even if somebody has to chastise someone, the chastisement should be directed towards the right person at the right time, in right proportion, for the right cause, for the right amount of time also, not a too long chastisement or whatever. So, our mouth, whatever emanates from the mouth, the words, therefore it is said, spilt milk, spared arrow, and spoken words cannot be taken back. It is said. So, once arrow is spared out of the bow, you can't get it back. If somebody jumps from a building and then he has afterthought, no, I don't want to jump off. No, it's too late. So, they also felt like that, Kumaras. I think we made a very hasty dash. So, they felt a little remorse. And now, Lord Vishnu, who was inside in Vaikuntha, he saw that at the door of Vaikuntha, there is an altercation. There is a kind of, some kind of commotion. Let me go and see what is the matter. And Lord Vishnu said to himself, it seems there is a lack of spiritual bliss at the entrance of Vaikuntha now. Therefore, there is anger and quarrel and unpleasant exchanges. So let me go there and drop some honey there of sweet loving exchanges, by experiencing which, you know, all the unpleasant feelings and emotions will be driven away. With that idea, Lord Vishnu arrived at the door, not only alone, he brought Lakshmiji with him. And above his head was, you know, the beautiful royal umbrella carried by Vishnu Dutas as an honor to Lord Vishnu. And there were also other four or five Vishnu Dutas along with him, walking and praising his glories. And Lord Vishnu was very beautiful to look at. He had a beautiful, like you have seen Balaji wearing a beautiful mukut, a nice kundal, and decorated with Kaustubha jewel, and also Srivatsa Chinha on his chest, and Vaijayanti Mala, you know, that kind of nice decoration, and also armlets and bracelets, and the pitambar, dazzling golden dhoti. And in this way, when Lord arrived at the entrance of Vaikuntha, there were hummingbees, bumblebees, hovering on the flower garland of Lord Vishnu, who were always traveling with the Lord, and humming like that. So, as soon as Lord arrived, so Kumaras looked at the Lord. And the Lord had beautiful eyes like lotus petals, which are actually love-laden eyes, as we say. Those eyes are very calm, calm, cool and quiet. And they are also love emanating. And they are also assurance giving eyes, like we say Kamala Nayanam. The word Kamala Nayanam is used for three forms of Purushottama. One Purushottama is Lord Vishnu. Another Purushottama is Maryada Purushottama is Lord Rama. And Purna Purushottama is Krishna. So you will find Vishnu, that famous Vishnu Sahasranama Sutram, he says, Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham Suresham Vishwadharam Gaganasadrisham Meghavaranam Shubhangam Lakshmikantam Kamalanayanam. Kamalanayanam means his eyes are like lotus petals. Similarly, for Rama also there is a verse which says about lotus petal like eyes. Shri Ramam Dasharadatmajam Aprameyam Sitapatim Ragukulan Mayaratna Deepam Ajanubahu Aravinda Dalayataksham Nishachara Vinashakaram Namami. This verse says, Aravinda Dalayataksham, he says. He has lotus petal like eyes, that Rama. So, similarly for Krishna also, Venam Kanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham, it is said. So, Lord has very beautiful eyes extending practically up to the ears. He has beautiful eyebrows. He has a beautiful Kasturi Tilakam on his forehead. And he has kundal, the sharp-shaped earrings, which are shining on his cheeks, because his cheeks are like a mirror, on which the kundal is moving back and forth and it is shining. And the Lord has a beautiful smile on his face. Smile actually means he is not laughing, nor is his mouth closed. He has a smile. Few front teeth are seen in that smile. So when Lord arrived at the, he is always present in Vishuddha Sattva platform. Vishuddha Sattva is beyond the three gunas. And the difference between Sattva Guna and Vishuddha Sattva is, In sattvaguna, sometimes it gets mixed with rajaguna, tamaguna also. Like sometimes a person in sattvaguna experiences two qualities, sukham and jnanam, happiness and knowledge. So sometimes his happiness makes him complacent. Sometimes his knowledge makes him prouder. So complacency is in tamaguna and pride is in rajaguna. So a person in sattvaguna can sometimes come to tamaguna and rajaguna also, sometimes. So in the material world, the sattvaguna is not completely pure. It gets mishrit, mixed up. On the other hand, in the spiritual world, there is vishuddha sattvam, which is never tinged by any kind of pride or laziness or lethargy. There is always alertness to serve the Lord in everybody. And there is also always freedom from false pride. Everybody is humble. There is no propensity for sense gratification. There is no propensity for envy. And there is no propensity for anger or greed or competitive mentality. Those things are absent in the spiritual world. And actually the Lord is an epitome of ocean of good qualities. And therefore naturally all the bhaktas are devotees in spiritual world, either the women or the men. They all have similar sublime qualities like the Lord in small proportion, and Lord has in oceanic proportion such qualities. So Shripad Ramanujacharya made a list of some dozen qualities from Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana and other Puranas while he wrote this Gadyatrayam. In Gadyatrayam, there is a Shriranga Gadyam, Sharanagati Gadyam and Vaikuntha Gadyam. There are three Gadyams. In the second Gadyam you will read, in the Sharanagati Gadyam you will read, 12 qualities are mentioned there. So, like Lord has Saushilya, Mardava, Arjava, Karunya, Gambhirya, Madhurya, Chaturya, Sthairya, Audarya, like that many qualities are there. Maybe I can tell you a little bit about it. Saushilya means the Lord is very friendly with even his insignificant devotees. Like Lord Rama makes friendship with monkeys, vanaras. He makes friendship with Vibhishana. He makes friendship with Guha. Although they are not socially having a high status, Lord doesn't mind making friendship with them. He makes friendship with anyone who is his devotee. And Krishna makes friendship even with monkeys and peacocks and birds and deers and cows and calves also. Practically with everybody he makes friendship in Vrindavan. Taushilya, we call it. And Mardava means feeling great separation from one's devotees. This is another quality. Like Lord Rama was feeling a great pain of separation from Bharat when he was in the forest. Then Bharat came to see him and took his paduka and went, isn't it? So he was feeling great separation. Or Lord Rama was feeling great separation from Sita when Ravana had taken Sita away. Similarly, Krishna, when he leaves Vrindavan and goes to Dwaraka, he feels great pain of separation from Vrijabasis. In Dwaraka, duty is pulling him. In Vrindavan, love is pulling him. Just like a man, you know, he has got a newborn baby and he simply wants to stay at home with his wife and that new baby child and simply want to have leisure time at home with family, relax. But he can't do that because he has to go to office. Office duty is calling him. Imagine he's working for a very busy bank. He has to rush. And there's so much work pending in the office. So he is boarding his car to go to office, but heart is at home. Even after going to office, he'll make a phone call and ask his wife, what is the son doing? Is he sleeping or is he awake? Is he playing some pranks? So why is he talking? Because his heart is at home. Same way Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and then to Dwaraka, but his heart is at home, Vrindavan. Therefore, you will find Jagannath is being pulled back to Vrindavan by the devotees. So this is Mardavam, we call it. So similarly, Arjavam actually means Lord keeps the promises which he makes. He never fails. Kunti Maharani says, my dear Lord, sun may become cool or moon may become hot, but you will never go back in your promise. Once you make a promise, you keep it. And you promised my sons that they will win the battle. Although they are 5 and Kauravas were 100, you still made them win. This is miraculous, she said. Similarly, the Lord has Karunyam. Karunya actually means he feels so much sympathy for his poor devotees. you know, like the Pandavas. He felt that 12 years these fellows were in the forest. Now they have to wage a war. And how will they win the battle? They have only 7 Akshavanis. And Kauravas have 11 Akshavanis. So, I should not leave my devotees at risk. So, Lord says, I will become your charioteer, Partha Sarathi. And then the Lord drives the chariot of Arjuna, guiding him in the entire battle. This Karunyata. Karunya means feeling sympathy for his devotees. Feeling pity for his devotees. And trying to come and help them. And Audharya actually means, actually Lord is so sympathetic that he wants to personally serve the devotees. He doesn't want to send anybody. He himself wants to come and serve the devotees. Like, you know, Krishna could have sent Dwarka or one of his best people to become charioteer of Arjuna. But Lord says, no, I will become the charioteer. Similarly, you find in the Arjunacharya pastime where he striked off one of the statements of Bhagavad Gita called Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. And then he went to market to check whether today I will get some alms. Last 3 days, Krishna didn't send me any alms. And he says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, I preserve what my devotees lack and I provide what they don't have. Like that he says that, but he didn't provide anything. Last 3 days we are fasting. So when he went to the market, at that time 2 kids, you know, blue and white, brought all the grocery and ghee and oil and everything and gave it to Arjunacharya's wife. She saw these glowing children, shining children with transcendental beauty and sparkling eyes. She was wondering, hey, who are you guys? First time I am seeing you children. They said, we are disciples of your husband and we have brought all this for you on his order. So her house became filled with so many grocery and other items, grains and everything, vegetables and everything. So she told them, okay, wait in the hall for a while, I will cook some sweet rice and give both of you. She had a desire to feed them. They said, no, we have to rush back because your husband is an angry man. He has told us to give it and come immediately. So we are going. So when the 2 boys were running away, on the back of the blue boy, she saw a mark, line marked. She asked, what is this? It seems you got some very thick line on your back. He said, oh, this is the way your husband gave me a whip, gave a whip on my back. Therefore, I got it. He said, and went away. So when husband came back, wife asked, why are you so cruel with your 2 disciples? Why are you so heavy with them that you have whipped them on their back? And he couldn't make anything out of it. So when he talked for a while, he could gradually grasp the matter that it is Krishna Balaram who came and delivered all these items, grocery and everything. And then I had striked off that line in Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshema Mahamyaham, isn't it? So Arjunacharya piteously cried. He said, oh, my dear good wife, you are more fortunate than me because you saw the 2 lords, Krishna Balaram, eye to eye. And they have, with their own divine hands, they have come and delivered all these goods to us. So in this way, Krishna likes to personally serve his devotees. Even though he can always get it done from one of his millions of servants, he likes to personally serve the devotees. Actually, this morning I was reading a beautiful verse from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This verse says, Narada in one shloka says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, after the Keshi demon's killing, this verse comes there. He says that, you know, the Lord is so fascinated by his devotees' love that when he appeared in this world as Krishna, he got carried away by the Vrajabasi's affection for him. And Narada says, I had to go personally and tell him that, my dear Lord, the Devakarya, what is Devakarya? Devakarya is actually killing of the Asuras. That is pending now. You have told in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhuna, Vinashayacha Dushkritam. You have come here to kill the Asuras. Please don't forget that job. That is your duty. Otherwise, you are playing with your devotees so much that you have forgotten the work for which you came. And Lord said, sorry, I got carried away. He was telling. So Narada says, I had to go and remind them. In this way, Lord likes to personally serve his devotees. And also, Madhurya. Madhurya, we all know, is sweet. But this quality is explained. This Madhurya quality is explained like this. That even in the battlefield, when Lord lifted the wheel on the top of his head with his hands, it's called Rathangapani, and ran towards Bhishma, charging towards Bhishma. Why? Because he thought Bhishma is going to kill Arjuna today. He has knocked down his chariot, knocked down his horses, and Arjuna is out of the chariot, I am out of the chariot. What is this? Bhishma has gone in a practically wild today. And I am worried that my Arjuna, my devotee, shouldn't be killed. So then Krishna decided that I will protect Arjuna. So he took a wheel above his head and started running. And Bhishma saw his eyes ridden with, Lord's eyes ridden with anxiety, and his hair becoming disheveled, Angabastra flowing down, and running towards him. Bhishma became very, very happy. Which means, even the person whom he is going to attack, he finds sweetness in the Lord. That is Madhurya. Bhishma found that form very, very sweet. Lord's anxiety to protect his devotee, Lord's running towards him in a chivalrous mood. Even that is very sweet to look at. That is Madhurya. And Chaturya means clever. As soon as his devotees get some doubt, as soon as his devotees get some doubt about the Lord, immediately Lord will do something to clear up the doubt. Like I have personal experience. Once I had a doubt in a philosophical point. I asked 3-4 devotees, nobody could give me answer. Then when I went to take darshan of the deities, I prayed to the deities that I am getting this particular doubt, nobody is able to clear it. Some contradiction I felt and nobody could resolve it. Anyway, I took my breakfast prasadam and came to room. When I opened the cupboard, one Bhagavatam fell down from the cupboard inside. I immediately picked it up and touched it to my head. And then I was about to keep it. The book was open like this. When I picked up the book, I saw, and that verse and purport immediately cleared my doubt. Exactly, that was the question I had. As if, somebody is calling me and giving me the answer to my doubt. So in this way, you will see the Lord, yes, Chaturya means he's very clever. He will make some arrangement. Like sometimes you feel, oh, I'm very proud and I have to become more humble. And then you go to your lecture and some Swami Maharaj will be sitting. You don't know him, he doesn't know you. But he will exactly give a lecture on how to overcome pride. And because the Lord is in your heart, Lord is in his heart. So he knows that you sincerely want to give up pride. And he will tell that Swami, today you speak on the topic of overcoming pride. And this kind of amazing arrangements he does. Lord is very clever. In this way, there are many qualities he explains there, sublime qualities. And Lord is an ocean of such good qualities. I told you a few now. So, he says that the Lord has sublime qualities and each of the qualities are in oceanic proportion in him. So, when such a Lord Vishnu arrived at the door of Vaikuntha, seeing his beauty, seeing the fragrance of his body, seeing his gentleness and gravity, immediately both the parties, that is Jaya Vijay and four Kumaras, he became alerted. And Jaya Vijay were thinking, alas, alas, we made a sound because of which Lord has got disturbed, it seems, and he has come to the door. What a shameful thing it is. We should not have done. And they felt like that. Because for a petty thing, we had to unnecessarily bring the top personality from the spiritual world. I mean, he had to come and sort out. They felt uneasy. And Kumaras also were wondering, oh, we have cursed Jaya Vijay. Maybe the Lord is upset with us. We don't know what is he going to shout at us. What is he going to do and what punishment is he going to give us? We don't know. They were thinking like that. So as soon as the Lord came to the door, when both the parties were in great anxiety, and that is the place this verse comes, this beautiful verse. Krishna prasada sumukham spruhaniya dhama, he says. Snehavaloka kalaya hridisam sprishantam. It says here that Lord had a sumukham. He had a very beautiful face, auspicious face. And Krishna prasada. He actually was coming there to bless everybody. Spruhaniya dhama. Means the Lord's face was so much affectionate that anybody would want to take shelter of his beautiful face by looking at it. And then it says here, Sneha Avaloka, he showed. Sneha means affectionate, Avaloka means glance. Upon whom? First the Lord showed affectionate glance upon the four Kumaras. And as soon as four Kumaras saw that, they were very relieved. Okay, He gave a curse to Jaya Vijay, and that did not displease the Supreme Lord. Because he's smiling at us. What does that mean? He's smiling means he's not upset with us. He's alright with us. So they became relieved. Then Jaya Vijay became worried. One party became relieved, another party became worried. They thought, oh, that means the Lord is angry with us. He is smiling at them. Then the Lord turned towards Jaya Vijay and he smiled at them also. Now the Jaya Vijay were amazed. Hey, Lord is smiling at us. He is not upset with us. Because we did our duty. Because impersonalists are not allowed in the spiritual world. And that's our duty to stop for the benefit of our Lord. So we stopped. So Lord is not upset with us. So they became relieved also. But now both the parties are confused. He is happy with whom? Generally in the material world, if two parties come to you for justice, then you give the justice. One party is celebrating, other party is morose and lamenting. Isn't it? That we all have seen. Like imagine you have some amount of money, X amount of money. You allot for one service, one department. Other department becomes upset with you. You know, you took the money and gave everything to that department or whatever. So it's very difficult in this world to please everybody. We all know that. Like you know the story of Parvati Mata had a mango which she had to give to either Ganesha or Kartikeya, you know. So finally when she gave to Ganesha, Kartikeya became angry and went to Palani, South India, isn't it? So in this world it is very difficult to please everybody. But here the Lord is smiling at Jaya Vijay and he is smiling at the Kumaras also. So that is the most amazing, you know, mystical smile. And not only that, Sneha Avaloka Kalaya. Kalaya means the smile expanded more and more. Hridisam Sprishantam means heart-touching smile it was. Such a reassuring, pacifying, calming, heart-touching smile that was shown by Lord Vishnu. And therefore I gave the heading of today's seminar as, swelling love makes all bow. That's the heading I had given. So the Lord's love is swelling love, which means expanding smile. He smiled so brilliantly, so beautifully. Both the parties became very calmed. And immediately the anger and avarice in the heart of both parties was vanquished immediately. Therefore it is said one should quell the wave of anger by wave of love. Like for example, if a lady in the kitchen is cooking and she is very frustrated that she has to cook in the hot kitchen and she has to go to office also and the husband is coming to argue with her for something and she is telling him, this is not the time to argue, I am cooking now. Once my cooking is over, I will come out, then we will have argument. But he still doesn't listen to her. Still he keeps speaking something and she really, really gets put off, you know. Sometimes a lady may take belna, you know, what you use for chapati, and she may lift it and say, hey, get out of the kitchen, don't disturb me. Sometimes the fight can become a little more serious. But at that time, when the lady with an angry mood comes out of the kitchen, in the hall, if there is a small baby, and the baby keeps crawling and coming and catching the mother's feet, immediately she picks up the child on her shoulder, and then fondles the child. And her anger is gone immediately, next moment. Seeing the tenderness of the child, beauty of the child, smile of the child. So, because the child is bringing her a wave of love. By wave of love, we can quell the wave of anger. So, similarly, when we cultivate sattva guna and vishuddha sattva, you know, there is no competitive mentality, there is no greed, there is no anger, there is no hatred. Nobody maintains any preconceived perceptions or notions, and nobody has a revengeful thoughts or anything like that. One is completely relieved from all that. One is completely innocent and pure-hearted. Even if somebody did harm to that person, still a person continues to be a well-wisher of that person. Therefore, there's a saying in beautiful verse in Sanskrit, you all may be aware. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu, sarve santu niramaya. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhavet. This verse says, you know, may the wicked become virtuous. May the virtuous become tranquil. May the tranquil become free. may those who are free set others free. So in this way, we can, this is actually universal prayer for all living beings. May the wicked people become virtuous. Like Prahlad also says, Kalasa, Kalaprasidatam, he is saying. Swastyastu, he is saying, let there be auspiciousness even for those who are envious. And may all the envious become free from any malice or hatred towards anybody. Let them possess a heart filled with love like the Supreme Lord. We are all His part and parcels. So naturally we have to emanate love from our heart by becoming a true representative of the Lord, by being a love emitter, and not one who emits hatred or anger or envy or anything. So in this way, the Lord's behavior was very mysterious to both the parties. And why the Lord smiled at both parties, the reason is also given later. The Lord thought that these Brahmanas are guests who have come here. Even if a guest sometimes is a little bit demanding more, you will not be angry with a guest, isn't it? Say, for example, Radhesham Das, I come to Gulf, I come to Mathura Desh, you all are cooking gulab jamun, everybody will get only two gulab jamuns. If Radhesham asks for four, then you will not mind. Okay, Prabhuji comes once in a while. Let him take four, no problem. You will be, you will not fight with me. Prabhu, it's limited, only two only. No, you won't say that. Maybe you will say it to somebody local, isn't it? Similarly, the Lord also thought, anyway, they are guest fellows, these four fellows have come. They will go away after some time. So Lord actually showed polite behavior. So if somebody is angry with you, one of the easiest ways to pacify the anger is to show politeness and offer respect. Then immediately the person's anger will appease. You all know the pastime of Sarmishta and Devyani. Sarmishta picked up Devyani. Sarmishta was a Kshatrani and Devyani was a Brahmani. By mistake, Sarmishta took the cloth of Devyani in the pond where they were taking bath, And Devyani became angry. She spoke very sharp words at Sarmishta because Devyani is the daughter of a Brahmana. Brahmanas have a sharp tongue, So she said, hey, look at you, Sarmishta, you are like a dog who has carried away the clarified butter. The dogs who are protectors of the house should stand at the door. They are not supposed to take away what is due of a Brahmana, like that she was telling insultingly. And Sarmishta became, she was innocent, but very angry also. Like the Prabhupada writes, if you see there in that section. Sarmishta said, what? You are calling us a dog? We are Kshatriyas? Yes, we do protect Brahmanas, but we are not like a dog. We have our respectability. Just see what I do. She picked up Devyani and put her in a dry pit, dry well type of thing. Because Devyani was Brahmani, she spoke sharp words. And Sarmishta was a Kshatrani, she showed by action, picked up and put her. Because Kshatriyas show by action, Brahmana show by speech, like that. But later on, Sarmishta went home and told her father, Papa, today I went for a bath, in the pond. This Devyani is very proud, you see. She's a Shukracharya's daughter and she's too proud. She spoke so ill of me. You know what I did? I just picked her up and put her in the dry well. And father, Vrishaparva, was shocked. My daughter, what you did? You have put Devyani in the dry pit? Because if the matter goes to Shukracharya, he will get wild. And he will curse me in such a way that I will lose all my kingdom, everything. Come, let's go. Immediately taking his daughter, he got out in the street, out of the palace and started rushing towards Shukracharya's home. On the way, Shukracharya came in the opposite side. As soon as Shukracharya was seen on the road, Vrishaparva dhadal, he fell flat like a stick on the ground. And Shukracharya came closer. And he looked at the king has come already out. He wanted to meet him, Because he is coming with his daughter and he is coming with his daughter. Both people are coming. So, Shukracharya told Vrishaparva, king, stand up, I have to talk to you. But the king says, no, I will not get up. Until you promise me, you won't curse me. So he said, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And the Shukracharya Brahmana felt pity for the king. He said, okay. You see, I am only upset that my daughter is insulted so badly. Therefore, I was very upset. You should certainly give some punishment to your daughter. Like that, Shukracharya spoke. Because his anger became diminished by humility of the king. So, similarly, by our humility and by our politeness and by our respect, we can pacify enraged superiors. And so that we learn. So the Lord actually taught this by his own behavior. So Kumara has not only became pacified, they spoke to the Lord and said, "My dear Lord, actually we are to be punished, not your two servants. They are good souls. Actually we curse them hastily. So you, whatever punishment you give us, we are ready to accept." Like that they said. Their hearts changed. And then Lord smiled at Jaya Vijay. Why? Because Jaya Vijay were his own personal servants. Lord thought, for millions of years they are serving me. One small mistake if they did also, I should write it off. I shouldn't make a big fuss about it. Because, you know, in this world, like Krishna says, you know, when you light a fire, there is always smoke also which comes. In every good action you try to do, there may be some defect. But one should ignore the smoke and increase the fire, and smoke will be gone. Similarly, if you see the sunny side of people, bright side of people, and appreciate it, then the bad side will eventually go away. So Lord appreciated the, with gratitude, the service done by Jaya Vijay for a prolonged period of time. So he could smile at them. So here we learn another quality from the Lord of forgiveness. Because, you know, if you are tolerant, if you are patient, if you are forgiving, if you are considerate, then these qualities are very helpful to preserve our relationships with anybody, especially devotees. And if you are not considerate, if you are not grateful, if you are not patient and tolerant, then, you know, we get into a mode of breaking the relationship with devotees. So we have to decide whether I want to make bridges or I want to make walls. If you make bridge, means you can continue to have the relationship of devotees. If you are non-forgiving, then we build walls around ourselves. Both parties make walls around themselves and they can't connect at all. Then years together, they don't look at each other, or they look, they turn their face away. Such things do happen. So here Lord is teaching us to be forgiving. With Kumaras, he is teaching us to be respectful and humble. With Jaya Vijay, he is teaching us how to be forgiving and patient and tolerant with those who have already done a lot for us. Be grateful to them. So in this way, Lord neither became offended by the offenders, who are Jaya Vijay. Lord did not become upset with the offenders or the offended, like the Prabhupada writes in the purport, if you read. He didn't become offended by either of them. So, because he has an oceanic heart, he has an ocean of good qualities. So by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, we all can also gradually develop some of these qualities in a small proportion, because by repeatedly meditating on such pastimes like this, you know, some qualities of the Lord will brush in our personality also. And by appreciating the Lord's behavior and meditating on his good behavior, gradually such good sublime qualities will come in our lives. Thank you. Now, last 5 minutes, I will take some questions. Yeah, give me. Read the question.
Why the impersonalist Kumaras wanted to visit the Vaikuntha when impersonalists don't even believe in the existence of Vaikuntha Loka?
Yeah. Actually, when they were newly born, Kumaras, their father Brahma told about Lord Vasudeva, Lord Vishnu, and his beauty. They heard it, but that was not appealing to them at that time. And he also told them about the three aspects of the Absolute Truth. Vadanti tat tat pabedas tatpam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Absolute Truth is one without a second, but it is seen by three people in three different ways. Brahmeti, paramatmeti, bhagavaniti. So they were attracted to the Brahman aspect, being jnanis. So now, at one point of time, Lord Vishnu developed a desire to perform a new pastime. And his desire was to go to Bhuloka and enjoy the Virya Rasa in fighting with somebody. So for that, he enacted this beautiful pastime of, you know, he impelled the Kumaras in their heart to come to the door of Vaikuntha. And he impelled Jaya Vijay to stop them. And then by that, Kumaras became angry and cursed Jaya Vijay. Now Jaya Vijay would go to the Bhuloka and become three lifetime of Asuras, you know, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dandavakra. And Lord can also go down to Bhuloka and he can fight with them and enjoy the Virya Rasa. That was Lord's plan. So after this episode was over, when Kumaras went away, actually when Kumaras came to the Vaikuntha door, then when Lord Vishnu came to the entrance, the tulasi in the Lord's lotus feet carried the fragrance and entered into the nostrils of the Kumaras and completely shook up their fixity on Omkar, and they became pure devotees at that time. So they got a promotion from the Brahman platform to the Bhagavan platform. Now they became Bhaktas after that. Tasya Ravinda Nayanasya Pada Ravinda Kinjal Kameshra Tulasi Makaranda Vayoho Antargataspa Vivarena Chakara Tesham Sankshobha Makshara Jusham Apichitta Tanvoho. So their chitta became fixed in the form of Vasudeva, Lord, and they became pure devotees instantly by smelling the Tulasi. So multiple reasons. One reason is Lord wanted to make this impersonalists into devotees and show to the world that even impersonalists eventually become devotees. Atma Ramaschamanayo Nirgranta Apyurukrame Kurvanti Ahitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhuta Gunauhari. Even impersonalists praise the Lord and become Bhaktas for a period of time. Like Shukadeva Goswami, Vellumangala Thakur, four Kumaras, they were all impersonalists before and they became Bhaktas. That's one reason. And the second reason is Lord wanted to enjoy Viri Rasa. So he made this pastime in the Vaikuntha door so that he could get a chance to enjoy Viri Rasa with his devotees. That's another reason. So that is clearly explained in the Bhagavatam that Lord created the desire in the heart of Kumaras. Plus, Kumaras also had heard about Vishnu's form from their father Brahma long before. That old seed of that personal knowledge now blossomed now. And then they got a chance to become Bhaktas. Thank you. Any other question? Another 2 minutes we have.
Yogis, after realizing Paramatma, what happens to them?
There are various type of yogis. If you read that Atma Ramaschamaniya verse, it talks about several type of yogis. There are some yogis who enter Vaikuntha by meditating on Vishnu. There are some yogis who lift the Kundalini Shakti, break the Kapala. When they come out, they want to go to Siddha Loka and gain powers, Ashta Siddhis, and come back to the earth and show off. They are one type of yogis. There are also other yogis who want to merge in Brahman, like the Jnanis. So they will go to Brahman. So it depends on the aspiration of a yogi. Krishna says, Prayana Kale Manasachalena Buddhyo Yukta Yoga Yoga Balena Chaiva. So he says that whatever they aspire for, after performing all the yogic processes, that aspiration they will attain. Yes.
Sayujya Mukti is one of the 5 kinds of liberation.
Correct.
Which are allotted for the devotees through.
Yeah.
Though it is recommended to develop the mood of servant. Here,
yeah.
How does this Sayujya Mukti differ from the impersonalist concept of becoming one with the Brahman? And after getting the Sayujya Mukti, what happens to that individual soul? What is the activity of individual soul after the Sayujya with the Lord?
Sayujya Mukti is not accepted by the devotees. There are 5 types of Muktis. One of them is Sayujya. But then clearly the verse says, Naikatmatam me sprihayanti kechin matpada seva abhirata madiha enyonyato bhagavata prasajya sabajayante mama vaurushani. Lord Kapila says this. Na ekatmatam me, he's saying. Never my devotees want to become one with me. They don't want to merge like a atom in my body. There are 2 types of Sayujya. One is Brahma Sayujya, where one is suspended in the Brahman Jyoti, like a parrot entering into a tree, suspended in a tree. Another type of Sayujya is the Jiva goes and touches the Lord's body, like being on Krishna's body. When Krishna is doing rasa dance, the Jiva thinks, I am also dancing. He's thinking, I am dancing with the gopis. He's just imagining like that, foolishly, the Jiva. So he can stay there for some time. Like you all know the pastime of the Madan when he was burned by Kamadeva, And the Kamadeva was burned by Shiva. After he was burned, he came and he was sticking on Krishna's body. And then he got a birth. He became Krishna's son. And then he was married to Usha, and the pastime goes on. Correct, no? People in the Brahma Sayujya or Sayujya in the Lord's body, both are temporary situations only. Nobody can permanently stay there. And that type of mukti is never aspired by devotees because there is no seva there. You just cling on to the Lord's body or in Brahma Jyoti and you are imagining, I am enjoying. That's a very foolish state of idleness. Devotees only aspire for the other 4. Diyamanam nagrihananti vinamat sevanam jana. It is said if there is no seva there, devotee will not want to go there. So mukti for devotee means muktir hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Which means they want to be resituated in their swarupa where they can have seva. Only then devotees will accept. Yes?
We learn guna karma vibhagasya.
Hmm.
Then how comes the Devyani differentiate the Sarnishta by birth and the similar things we see other places also, like Vidura was considered the Shudra, inspired of his Vaishnava's qualities.
Yeah.
Kindly clarify my inability to understand.
Yeah, actually, Yudhishthira Maharaj clearly says in Mahabharata, son of a Brahmana is Brahmana, son of a Kshatriya is Kshatriya in the dawn of creation. Huh? But later on, intercaste marriages happened. Because of which, when a Brahmana and a Kshatriya families have intercaste marriage, then it is very difficult to assess what will be the quality of the son or daughter, you know, which caste they belong to. Then, because of that intermixing, Narada says, yasya lakshanam proktam. One should see what qualities a person is exhibiting. Based on that, you should assess who is a Brahmana or who is a Kshatriya, who is a Vaishya, who is a Shudra. Because son of a doctor is not a doctor. Son of a lawyer is not a lawyer. They have to qualify for it. Like that he says. So, if you see our Rishabhadevi, he had 100 sons. You know, 9 sons became Paramahamsa Bhagavats. And 10 of them became Kshatriyas. And 81 of them became Karmakandi Brahmanas. Which means in the same family, some are Kshatriyas, some are Brahmanas. So, that's based on the quality division. It is not based on the birth. But otherwise, it is generally accepted that somebody is born in a Brahmana family, follows the path of the father, generally. Or somebody born as a king's son, he also follows the path of the king as a Kshatriya. But sometimes a Kshatriya son can become a Brahmana also, by dint of his qualities. So, our Shukracharya's daughter, Devyani, is called as a Brahmani because she is born in a Brahman family. But if she wouldn't have the Brahminical qualities, then they are called Brahma Bandhu. Somebody doesn't have the qualities of a Kshatriya, it's called Kshatra Bandhu, we call like that. Hmm? Yeah. But qualities and activities are the ones which are emphasized. Now, Vrajaparan Prabhu, I think we have exceeded the time, I think. We had fixed 9:30.
Yes, Prabhu. Prabhuji, thank you so much for your kind service, enlightening all of us on this wonderful aspect of the endearing qualities of the Lord. And we have learned a lot from today's lecture given by you as to how we should experience this tolerance, patience, forgiveness, being considerate, being grateful, etc. And this is the way how we can maintain our relationships and overcome anger, etc. Thank you very much for your enlightening lecture, Prabhuji, and with your blessings. Please bless us that we cultivate these habits in us, qualities in us. And Prabhuji, whenever you have time, kindly remember us, give us a slot. We will be very, very privileged to hear from you.
So, sir, Friday seems to be a good day for the Gulf devotees, I think, isn't it?
Yes, Friday being a weekend, Prabhuji.
Yeah, it's a week, it's a holiday. So, some other parts of Gulf devotees also called me and I have been doing some programs for them also. Same timing, I think 9:30, 10:30. In one place, I think, I don't remember which was the place, 10:30, 11:30 they had kept. But anyway, Prabhu, in case any time in future you wish to call me, I will extend this where I left today. There is more to be discussed, which I will do in future whenever we arrange again. It will be nice to meet all of you again. Very nice questions, very thoughtful questions. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Jai. 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 Jai.
Hare Krishna.